Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, it is a blessing to be by the feet of Jesus and to hear him and to be guided by him. So yesterday we started looking at this aspect of ambassadors in chains, and we were looking at how Paul describes himself. You know, he says Ephesians 6, verse 20, where he says, okay, maybe let's start from verse 19. He says, and for me, he's asking the church to pray for him, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So he's giving that expression that, you know, one, he needs prayers for him, that God will give him utterance. And we say this utterance is the expression, the divine expression of the Christ, that he can communicate the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel. Beyond that, he says, give me boldness. And we spoke about the boldness in the Spirit, which is the infusion of the courage of the Spirit, the confidence that we have in approaching God, and that we have no veil before us that allows us access to the Father. And this blessing that gives us access is what gives us boldness, because we do not have veiled faces. We have direct access to the Father. We are cleansed of our sins. We are purified. We are made holy. And by that, we can be able to communicate the mystery of the gospel. So he asked God to give him boldness. We saw the disciples, the apostles, you know, when they faced persecution, they prayed to God to give them boldness. And the place where they were praying was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So when we ask for boldness, God fills us with more of his Spirit, because this is the boldness of the Spirit that comes. And then he also said that, for which I am an ambassador in chains. So he's an ambassador in chains for the gospel. And we say that it's very hard to put these two words together. When you think of an ambassador, you think of a highly, you know, expensive, highly protected, highly, you know, diplomatic figure that, you know, is having all the resources of his nation. And yes, Paul has all that. He is a diplomat. He is a servant, a highly respected servant of God. But then when you put chains, then it contradicts it. It's an oxymoron, but it tells us that this is the picture that God has placed in him. And that's why he said God has placed us apostles, you know, behind the procession. And, you know, when others are going ahead, they're getting rich. For them, they're being dragged in prisons, in fastings, in persecutions. They are the men who suffer for the gospel. And it's like they're just being put as displays. And you see, this is not a gospel that many would agree to. But you see, the apostolic has its marks. And he says, I bear my scars. I bear in my body the scars for the gospel, so that let no one trouble me. You know, I bear the marks of Jesus, the scars of Jesus. So there is a price that Paul has paid. In fact, for him, he says that everywhere he goes, you know, the Spirit has already bared witness to him that tribulations and prisons await him. You can imagine someone who knows. In fact, it's not that he'll be surprised. The Holy Spirit has already told him, every city you go, two things are waiting for you, tribulations and prisons. And that is why even when the prophet Agabus comes to try and dissuade him from going to Jerusalem, he tells him, gives him a prophecy and tells him, the owner of this belt, he takes Paul's belt and ties his hand and his feet. And he says, the owner of this belt, the Spirit says, he shall be tied, bound hand and feet like this in Jerusalem. And people are starting to tell him, don't go. And he starts to say, but why are you breaking my heart by preventing me from fulfilling the mission that God has called me to? And he says, you know what? I am ready to die. Even if it means going to die, I am ready to die. I am ready to be persecuted. I'm ready to go into prison. And so he is an ambassador in chains, and he is a man who God has called. But you see, Paul is not one that served alone. And this is where we want to look at this man, Tychicus, and who is brought out. You know, there are few people that are spoken about. I mean, we mostly know those that served with Paul. We know of Timothy, we know of Epaphroditus, we know of Onesimus, we know of Titus, but there's this man, Tychicus, who is rarely spoken about. And today, I just want us to look at the verses that speak about him, and we can understand him. First of all, his name means fortunate, and so he's a man that is fortunate, blessed of God. And the Bible tells us, Ephesians 6, and today we'll be able to conclude this chapter, says a gracious greeting, the verse 21, it says, but that you may also know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you, with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So we can see that he is described as a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. You can think about Paul, all his missionary journeys. We often think about Paul as the main man, but God did not leave Paul alone. God gave him men. He gave him faithful ministers, faithful brothers, faithful sons. There are those who are sons, there are those who are brothers, there are those who are fellow ministers and servants with him. And one of the greatest blessings that God can give you is the gift of men. You know, apart from the gift of signs and wonders and miracles, but when God gives you men, faithful men, committed men, who understand the vision, who keep looking unto the vision, who they are serving God, and they know that they are serving God through serving with you, then you're able to go far. So you can see that this man is described as a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. Let's look at other verses where he's described. If you go to Acts chapter 20, and we can read from verse 1 to 6. And this, the Bible says, Acts 21 to 6, it says, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And verse 4 is where it comes in. And so Peter of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. This man, going ahead, waited for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of the unleavened bread, and in the 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. So we can see the Bible is telling us that Tychicus was from Asia. So Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia, you know, when Paul was facing persecution and he has to move to Macedonia and Greece, so he's accompanied by this man. So Peter is accompanied by Aristarchus, he's accompanied by Secundus, Gaius, Timothy, Tychicus and Trophimus. So you can see these are the guys who are walking with him. Let us look at another description. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 to 15. Colossians 4, 7 to 15. The Bible says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. And then verse 9 says, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they will make known to you all things that are happening here. Verse 10, as Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justus, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision, that means who are Jews. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is also one of you, a bond servant, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear with him witness that he has a great zeal for you and for those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greets you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in house. So if we now again see the description of Tychicus again, he is described as a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. So Paul, it seems that he kept Tychicus close to him. They moved in his missionary journeys, and he was a servant that Paul could send. You know, you can see he sends him to Ephesus, and this is where we see, where we've read in Ephesians chapter 6, towards the conclusion, he sends him to Ephesus. But then also, he also sends him to Colossians, to Colossae. And you can see that he says that he is going to give you news about me. Remember, Paul is in prison. And so Tychicus most likely has been with him, has come to visit him, and he now sends him. He says, now go and tell the Ephesians how I'm doing. After that, then also go and tell the Colossians how I'm doing. And beyond that, he also says that he will tell you about our circumstances, the pain that we are going through in prison, but also he will also comfort your hearts. You see, the churches were always in a lot of pain. You know, how is Paul doing? How is Paul doing in prison? You can see how the Philippians sent for them Epaphroditus to go and stand with Paul in prison, to serve him in prison. You can see how, but Paul keeps telling them that, you see what, even though I am in chains, the gospel is not chained. You know, I know there are those who are perverting the gospel, using it for their own means, but the most important thing is that the gospel moves forward. And you can see how he says Onesimus is with him. He sees also Aristarchus. So Paul is also imprisoned with Aristarchus. He says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And then he also speaks about Mark. Remember, Mark was the one who had abandoned them. And that was the reason why Paul Barnabas split. The reason why they split is because of Mark. Mark had departed, John Mark, he had departed from them, and Paul was not happy with him. But later on, Paul says, send for me Mark because he is helpful to me in the ministry. And you can see the kind of recommendation that he gives him, that when he comes to you, make sure that you receive him. So in a way, you can say that Tychicus was also having the heart of a pastor or a prophet, because he's coming to comfort the people. He's coming with the news. He's a faithful minister. He's a fellow servant. Another area that he's described is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, which he also speaks. And maybe let's just read from verse 9, where he's calling forth for Timothy. He says, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia, and only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me in ministry, and Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. And then he tells him to bring his cloak and the books, especially the parchments. You know, so you can see he describes, well, Demas was with him, but Demas has forsaken him, and having loved this present world, has departed for Thessalonica. But he says, I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. You can see how Paul has consistently worked with Tychicus, has consistently worked with Timothy, with Titus. And even in the book of Titus chapter 3, verse 12, he says that when I send Artemas to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have to spend the winter there. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. So there is a journey that we see that God has worked in Paul. He's given him men who are walking with him. And you see, that's why when Paul speaks to Timothy, he gives him this command. He tells him, these things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be in turn be qualified to be able to teach others. In the gospel, we have a responsibility of raising men. We have a responsibility of discipleship. We have a responsibility of making men, turning them from just converts into disciples. And you see, that is the process that transitions men to have dominion. You see, often You know, when people come to church, they're interested in the deliverance. They are attracted in the signs, in the miracles. And many people and many churches, 70 to 80% of churches are full of those that are coming for the deliverance. So that's those that are coming for the signs and wonders, those that are coming for what they will get. I mean, you're giving them bread, you're giving them the word of God, you're healing them, you're giving them prophecy. Yes, they will come. 70 to 80% of the people. You'll have full churches, you'll have the crowds. But you see, it is only a very small percentage of people, even maybe up to 10%, that are ready to move into the next stage of discipleship. Now, discipleship is actually, it's no longer now signs and miracles, but it's actually the price of being trained. This is the place where people can be corrected, where your pastor can tell you that, you know what, you've been missing services. You've been missing these sessions. Don't you think it is important? Don't you think that you're missing this? Now, this is the place where people pull away. It's just like when you call people for services, they will come, yes. When you say, okay, we're going to have a service for marriage, you know, those that are trusting God for children, those that are trusting God for marriages, people will come, multitudes will come. But then when you say we are going to do Bible study, we are going to have a prayer meeting, you'll find only a fraction of the church. Yet that fraction is what is in that place that people are going to be made into faithful ministers. And that is why there's a difference between just the crowd. And that's why Jesus had the crowd. And he told them, you know what? Unless you eat of my flesh or eat or drink of my blood, you have no part of me. And the people said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And they left. And then Jesus turns to his disciples, and the disciples are still with him. And he asked them, won't you leave also? And Peter says, to whom will you go? You have the words of life. Discipleship is the place where someone has stopped from being a crowd member, from just being a church attendant, and has entered into the phase where they have seen that their leader, that the person that God has placed in them, has the words of life. And this is the person that God has given them to transition them into the place where they actually become disciples. Disciples are students. And studies take time. They take process. They take discipline. It takes a process of discipline. You know, I meet many people who say, oh, I want to be a pastor. Oh, I want to be a leader. Oh, I want to go and preach. But then when you now want to take them through that process, when you say, okay, now we are going to do prayer. We are going to do fasting. We are going to do study of the word of God. Then they don't come. Then you re-understand that there are many who are still after the signs, who are still after the bread, who are still in the crowd, who are still in the deliverance stage, but are not ready come into discipleship. Yet the call of God is telling us, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If anyone wants to be my disciple, he must daily take up his cross and follow me. The question is, do you just want to be with the crowd, or do you want to now move into the level of faithfulness? Move into the level of the minister. Move into the level of my fellow servant into the Lord. Move into the level of beyond discipleship is now where you are deployed. You can see now Paul has been with this servant, has been with Tychicus, has been with Timothy, has been with Titus, has been with Aristarchus, has been with Onesimus. And then now he is able to send them. He says, now I send to you. I send to you Tychicus. I send to you Titus. I send to you Timothy. I send them to these places. Why? Because I know they have the same heart as me. You know, in he speaks of Timothy. He said, Timothy, my true son in the Lord. And he says, as a son with his father, he has served with me in the gospel. He will come and remind you of my way of life. When God gives you men, you must move them, transition them from the place of where they are just church attendants, from the place of where they're just in the crowd, to the place where they're ready to serve God. I tell you, by your commitment to the place of discipleship, you know, teaching is not fun. Teaching is boring. You know, in fact, people will find that our teaching is boring, but it is a teaching that transforms you. It is a teaching that moves you into the place of deployment, then moves you into the place of dominion. It is a teaching that is going to build you, is going to make you a solid man that God can send you anywhere in the world, and you're going to be effective, you're going to make a difference. But until you are trained, until you are built, then God does not send untested people. Because when he sends untested people, when untested people launch out into ministries, that is why there is crisis. That is why they are sleeping with people's wives. That is why they are stealing. Why? Because the character is not built. Character is built in the place of discipleship. Character is built in the place of training. You know, it is in the place of faithfulness. But you see, these things are only entrusted to faithful men. That is why the Bible describes him a faithful minister. He's a devoted minister, a faithful minister and servant. That means there are two aspects. There is the faithfulness and there is the service. If you're faithful, faithfulness is being consistent even when it hurts, being consistent even when it's inconvenient. And then ministry is the aspect of service. Are you available to serve? Are you available to help? Are you available to be the hands that can be sent, the hands that can do that which no one else wants to do? I assure you, the word will transform you. Discipleship will transform you. Sitting by the word of God will transform you. When you submit yourself to being a servant, to being faithful in everything, in a commitment to time, in a commitment to discipline, then you shall see the hand of God. I pray that God will make us like this man, Tychicus, make us servants, make us those that are faithful, that are ready to go through that process. And after we are done, then we shall see the reward of God. God wants each and every man to move into the place of sonship, into the place where God can send you anywhere in the world, whether it's in the marketplace, whether it is in music, whether it is in football, whether it is in sports, whether it is in a church, God will send those that are trained. Your commitment, your desire to be available, your desire to be faithful, your desire to be a servant is what will push you to the next level. And I pray that God will give you a heart, God will give you the desire, God will give you the faithfulness, and you shall bring forth your discipline, you shall bring forth your determination and your focus, that in all these things God shall be glorified. Yes, we want to do great things for the kingdom of God, but there is a process to be trained, and I pray that God will help us. I'll stop here and I pray, my brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manu. Thank you for this. It's a reminder, but also a challenge. It's a moment to choose. Are you a Tychicus or are you a Demas?
Mm.
Yes, I mean, because it's clear that one has to choose.
Yeah.
And as you said, with humility, with readiness, with acceptance, and with willingness and zeal, become a Tychicus.
Yeah.
And lack of that, you end up being a Demas.
Mm.
It is not easy to be a servant.
Yeah.
Majorly, if you're not aware of the purpose as to why you're a servant, you're not aware of the master that you're serving. Sometimes, as Christians, we think we are simply serving the man of God.
Mm.
We forget the mantle on which this man of God operates, the anointment on this man of God. We are not serving the man of God, but we're serving that which is greater in him. And that is where the confusion comes. But here is when you appreciate a man like Tychicus, that even when Paul is in jail, at his lowest moment, at his lowest point, is chained. I don't think a man in jail can influence any other, you know, kind of power or seal. He's already, the world laws have already proven that he can be chained, he can be jailed somewhere, you know. But this gentleman remains faithful to his master, remains faithful to, you know, Paul. not because it is Paul, but it's because it is the God that is working through Paul.
Amen.
I know he believed and he knew that he's not serving Paul as an individual, but he's serving the God that works through Paul. And I think that is something that as Christians we need to transcend beyond just seeing the men of God as men of God, but rather that which works in them, the bigger master that we all serve.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And also, you know, because also the other thing that affects your servanthood is when you have a limitation at which you look at the relationship you're having with this man of God.
Mm.
It sounds strange and funny for an unbeliever hearing an elderly man calling a younger man as my father in Christ or in spirit.
Yeah.
But in the spiritual world, relationships are not defined as they're defined in the physical world. Someone may be younger than you in age in the world, but yet more mature than you in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
And as such, if we start looking at relationships as they are, then the ego, the weakness of the flesh of a man that may stop you from obeying or listening to someone younger than you and yet mature in spirit, asking you to do things, you don't start looking at yourself from that human perspective and say, but I'm older than this one in age. How can they be sending me around?
Yeah.
You see, so this is what we really need to challenge ourselves to, and just realize that awakening and say, look, it is not the physical, it is not what is worldly, but it's something that is beyond this.
Mm.
And the rewards are there. Faithful servant will always receive their rewards at the end of the day.
Amen.
And as you said, we learn from humility. Learning from those that have gone ahead of us.
Yes. Amen. Man, powerful additions. God give us more insight into this. Let's pray.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for the revelations. You're calling us to the place of faithfulness and service, a place of being true sons for the kingdom of God. Thank you that indeed you've called us to be vessels of honor. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. We honor, we exalt you, we give you glory. Be with us, strengthen us, help us, O God. Give us men, indeed, let us be those men that can serve the vision that, Lord, you've called us to. We honor, we exalt you, we magnify you. We pray all this in Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Amen.
Thanks.
Amen. Shalom and blessed.
Shalom. So bright.
Amen. Thank you.